You're listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Kyo, powered by PwC. The Currency.news. It pays to be curious.
MedTech, FinTech, RegTech, AgTech, even sports tech. The list goes on. All of the sectors are understood, all carry their own meaning and their own opportunities. David McGee, ESG leader with PwC, you want to add another name to the list. And just like the state has strategically nurtured many of the sectors I've just name-checked, you believe that this one also needs to be harnessed to be supported and cultivated. Climate tech.
Thank you, Ian. And absolutely, we think climate tech is critical across a number of dimensions and should be as familiar to everybody. We would aspire that it would be as familiar to everybody as all those terms you just listed off and carried there. And in our 2024 Irish Climate Tech Report, which we've just completed in conjunction with Sustainability Works, we try to articulate again, this is our second report, and try to explain to people what this sector really is.
And just tell us, for the uninitiated, and we're going to talk about how we can cultivate that sector, how we can really make it as a win-win for Ireland. But just define it to people who are listening.
And I'm going to start at the definition by what it's not, right? Because the things you talked about there, like ag tech or med tech or fintech, tend to be in a particular industry sector. And with climate tech, we're arguing it cuts across multiple sectors, and that's why it's getting ignored. So there are solutions coming across. Some of them might sit in ag and food. Some of them might sit in the built environment. Some of them might sit in financial services. But they're innovations, whether they're technical or new patents or new inventions even, that give you some kind of a technology edge in solving the problem of climate and greenhouse gas emissions.
And if we get this right, I think, David, it really is. And I read the report that you did with Sustainability Works. It really can be a win-win. Because on one hand, we're really helping Ireland to get to that point, and I hate using it, but the phrase net zero. And we're behind those targets based upon where we are at the moment. But it'll help us get there. And also, as a side, as an add-on, we're fostering an indigenous economy. There's a lot of companies already operating in this space, even if we haven't got the name or the lexicon behind it.
I completely agree. And I think this offers us what climate tech gives us the potential is to solve two big problems at the same time. One is, you're right, we're going to miss the climate action plan. We are going to miss our own targets as a nation. The world is on track to miss 1.5 degrees in accordance with the Paris Accord. So anything we can do to help bridge that gap, and I'll come back to it, but technology is fundamental to that. So that's one plank of it. This is just good for saving the planet. But the other thing is, there's a massive economic opportunity. In the same way as we invested in behind, say, the med tech sector, right, and have created a real world-class centre for innovation, research, development and production of medtech, we can do the same here. The one big thing that has changed since we've published our first report in 2023, you've seen the US and the EU really get behind global initiatives to try to push investment. So the Inflation Reduction Act in the US and the CHIPS Act and the EU Green Deal all trying to push more dollars or euros in behind this sector.
And you will even see that, I know, COP26, I think, which is coming up soon, is the funding COP.
Yeah, and everybody's trying to work out the problem as we try to move towards decarbonising the world and the value chains that we all sit within. The problem is capital allocation and capital flows, right? We need trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of capital to actually, and that's where we already know the solution. So if I take energy transition, so outside of batteries, we broadly know how to sort it out, but the capital required to fix that problem, not to mention planning and regulation and other things, is enormous. Where I think climate tech comes into its own is saying in those sectors and in those challenges in society where we don't quite fully know how to bridge the gap, how will we feed ourselves? How will we move ourselves? Personal mobility. How will we build big buildings without concrete? It's those kind of challenges that we need to try to address. And that's where climate technology comes in and climate tech comes in.
OK, so that's on a high level. Let's get into the weeds a little bit, David. Because I think the report that you did identified a number of key areas where Ireland can really win. So we're talking about things such as grid technology and energy management services. We're talking decarbonisation in commercial buildings, which is something you just referenced there. and even smart farming. So there's a lot of real things that we're possibly doing a little bit already, but we can really lean into.
And this is, you know, you can't start a big movement from zero. And the beauty of this is we're not at zero. We were amazed the first year that we went out to do this. I honestly said to my team, let's see if we can find a couple of dozen climate tech companies and see what's going on here. That first year we found over 200. This year we found almost 300 companies who have started up, who are doing genuine, innovative, new technology things across a whole range of different sectors. Some are dealing with the maritime world, some are dealing with the built environment, some are dealing with the food value chain. But they're entrepreneurs who are motivated more than just by the kick of, I want to set up a new business. They're actually trying to solve a massive, big, knotty problem.
And do you know what? I don't just say this lightly, but I've, including in this podcast studio, chatted to a number of people who are in this space, from Norman Crowley and the likes. And it's that sense of mission, that sense of purpose really radiates in a way that it mightn't from other economic participators.
Yeah, I mean, this is not, you know, I'm setting up a business to try to make money and and don't get me wrong, these are still entrepreneurs. They still need capital.
There's
still a bottom line, and they still need to make money. And they know that they know that they need that profit to sustain what they need to do. And they hope at some stage to make some money out of it for themselves. That's all fine. But there is that higher purpose. There is that recognition that I am trying to do something that will actually drive a better outcome for the planet, which is why we think climate tech offers this massive advantage. It's both a climate and greenhouse gas abatement issue, and it's an economic opportunity for Ireland Inc.
So what can Ireland Inc., and by that I mean the state and the powers of state and the apparatus of state, what can it do to help propel this area? I was going to call it a sector, but as you say, it's not a sector. It's cross-platform. It's 360 across all the different areas. But what can we do to really propel it forward?
I think a couple of things. And let's recognise those 300 companies are out there. So some things are working really well. We have a really strong third-level institution sector. Lots of them spun out of third-level incubators. We have entrepreneurs out there. And we have state funding. I think the challenge is, first thing will be recognise it as a platform and say this is climate tech, and therefore it needs to get state strategies from the various state bodies need to look at it as a platform and say, are we really looking at this holistically and trying to support the particular needs of this sector? But also just, and then when you've done that, that would allow you to divert some of the existing funding and some of the existing programmes and point it specifically at that, because I think this is an area where we could, if we could just take the brakes off a little bit, you could really release. There is a real challenge in that early stage funding. We're seeing, even since the first report was published a little over a year ago, an increased interest from venture capital and private equity in this sector. But it's right at that very beginning when you're trying to get either government or friends and family funding to get something up and going. It's trying to help at that stage.
So targeted funding reliefs, targeted tax reliefs for these areas. And I think, unlike lots of other areas, you're not going to see a massive problem out of Europe on the state aid rules if you're playing in this space.
Completely, because you've got that umbrella of the Green Deal. And we know we have the expertise and the management capability in the state organisations to do this. We've done it really well with lots of other industry sectors. I just now want to tackle it as a platform.
And in terms of getting private investment in as well, I think people are becoming more cognizant, or are they, of the opportunities that are there?
So yeah, when I think one of the things we've really tried to do with this second edition of the report, and sustainability works have been key in helping us to kind of access this, is you will see through the report us referencing private funding and private sources of capital and getting their view on it. And some of them have already been in the sector, some of them are coming into the sector. But I think it's really important that we recognise this is an ecosystem. The universities have a path to play, the state agencies have a path to play, so does private capital. But it's about everybody looking at it and saying there's a real, let's get behind this as a sector, and let's not have a little bit happening over here and a little bit happening over here. Let's try to really get behind the platform and drive it.
I spoke with Pascal Donohue recently, and it was funny. I asked him actually, après nothing, about what were you thinking around the 13, 14 billion euro in Apple money. And his answer actually veered into the space about where he saw the future of the Irish economy, not in the next 2-3 years. Not even in the next electoral cycle, which is something we often become preoccupied about, but in the next 10, 15, 20 years. And the way he sees it, Ireland is going to be a net exporter of energy, that the future of Ireland, and he mightn't have used the language, but that the future of the Irish economy, in the same way as that FDI, or luring and enticing foreign capital into Ireland, has been the key to it over the last couple of decades, will be exactly the sort of things you're talking about now.
Completely. And there are countries who are already staking out a claim for this, right? And I agree with the minister. I think if we can start trying to think generationally about some of these issues, whether that's offshore wind or whether that's climate tech as a platform, it's trying to set out where can Ireland win 10, 15, 20 years from now, and try to set that those foundations now.
As you said, I think it's been slow and steady, the level of investment. Going forward, slow and steady is perhaps not enough.
No, and I think as well, the whole world is racing to solve this problem at the same time. If we want to have an edge here, if we want to create, we have created some fantastic global companies out of Ireland in sectors like food. We've hosted amazing companies that have grown really well here in the tech space, in the pharmaceutical space. If we want to create climate tech companies who are world beaters and world class over the next 10, 15 years, now's the time to get behind the sector.
The report that you've just done with Sustainability Works, one of the key recommendations coming from it was that we need a climate tech roadmap for Ireland. You might just talk me through that point.
What we want to do there, and again, it comes back to the simple principle of recognise as a sector, bake it into the strategy documents at state level to say this is a sector. And what that roadmap would do is try to take all the people who are actively trying to work in the sector together and pull them all in, so we can say, if you've got a good idea, we know how to get you the state funding, we know how to get you access to private capital when you're ready, we know how to get you mentorship and support, we can help you to get export markets, because the opportunity for all these economically is way beyond Ireland. You're trying to solve a problem that exists way beyond the state. So it's trying to put that roadmap and get that clarified. And we haven't tried to enunciate it and articulate it. It's just that we need to get the sector together to try to pull that.
Two final points. One, because it was an interesting segue in your report where you talked about empowering women-led businesses and ensuring equitable access to finance. I think that's a point that often gets overlooked, David.
Yeah, and it was... you know, in our first report, there were a number of female entrepreneurs. We got called out for not calling that out more. And we said, let's go back. And it was interesting. It's interesting talking to all the entrepreneurs. But actually, there's different sets of challenges there. And whatever we need to do in terms of access to capital and mentorship and support should be available to all entrepreneurs.
And finally, so you've seen a massive change even in the last year since you did the first report versus the second. If I was to sit with you here next year, what sort of message would you hope to be putting forward?
I would really hope, A, that we continue to see the growth in the numbers, that we see more and more companies coming through onto the radar. But really, I'd like us being able to say, and look, there it is in a strategy of a government department, or potentially by the time we're doing this, we will have a new government. And I'm hoping that whatever platform is laid out, we start to recognise this as a platform for both dealing with our climate action plan and for dealing with long-term economic growth.
So as we say, win-win, and recognise that climate tech is a massive opportunity.
Huge.
David McGee, PwC, thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Tech Agenda with Ian Keogh, powered by PwC, the currency.news. It pays to be curious.